أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم بسنة المدين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue where we left off last Friday in Surah Al-Baqarah. Verse 132 is where we finished off last week. So إن شاء الله today we'll continue from verse 133. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this passage, in these verses from 133 to 137, is talking about the issue of the previous prophets who came. As you know, for the last few weeks, we have covered ayats where it is being talked about Ibrahim al-Islam and those who followed Ibrahim al-Islam and who claimed that they are on the path and that the others are not. In that same continuation, the topic continues today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 133, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing this verse to Muhammad and directing it towards the Ahlul Kitab, people of the book living in the Medina and its outskirts. It's a ayatul istifham, an ayah of questioning. It's a way or style of questioning the person that, were you present? Were you present when Yaqub al-Islam was passing away, when he was on his deathbed, when Yaqub al-Islam as a prophet was in his last moments of life and he was in his station or status of dying? Were you present over there? Did you see anything? Did you hear anything? No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really addressing them over here, saying that these people, they don't know what they're talking about. This ayah was in response to the claim that they had, in response to the claim of the Ahlul Kitab that we are the people on the right path, we are the followers of Ibrahim al-Islam, we have a haq on Ibrahim al-Islam, and he is our prophet, and he is our, you know, father and everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed those claims in the previous verses. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the name of another prophet, Yaqub al-Islam. Does anybody know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is talking about Yaqub al-Islam? What is so significant about Yaqub al-Islam? How come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mentioning Ibrahim al-Islam first here in the ayah? Ibrahim al-Islam is mentioned towards the end, but why in the beginning Yaqub? Yes, Yaqub al-Islam, his laqab or title was also a name as Israel. So all the progeny of Yaqub al-Islam are known as Bani Israel. Bani Israel is not a new title, it's not a new thing. Basically, Bani means children, or followers in a way. Those who follow their prophet, they're like children. That's why the wives of the prophet were known as Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, mother of the believers. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radhiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija radhiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen Sauda, etc. All the wives of the prophet were referred to the qawm as mother of the believers. So the prophet is also like a father, is also like a leader, is like a mentor for them. So all the prophets that came from Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub al-Islam's lineage, all the prophets were from them and for their people. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Yahud of Medina at that time, who are claiming big things. Allah is addressing them. Am kuntum. Am, in the Arabic language, as we've learned in Arabic, am means or. But here it is in the ma'na of nafi, negation of something. In other words, am hadaru. Did you attend? Were you present? So over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Am kuntum. Kuntum is a past tense word. Kana. It's the plural of kan. And we learned that in Arabic, that kana is in past. That were you present? Am kuntum shuhada. Shuhada is from the word shaheed. Shahada. When you say the shahada, you are witnessing. You are saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I be a witness. Meaning your testimony, your witness of proof, daleel. You bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So that's what the word is. So, shuhada, meaning were you witness, were you present at the what? is Hadara Yaqub al-Maut. Were you present, O people of Yaqub al-Islam, or the followers of Yaqub al-Islam, or the people in lineage from that line? Were you present when death was coming upon him? Hadara al-Maut, Hadara means to come, attend. Maut, death. When death is about befalling a person, Sakarat al-Maut, when death is about, like the Asarat or Isharat al-Maut, the signs of death, when you see a person that the last hour or the last seconds have come, you will see certain things on their book. We talked about this last Friday also, that at the time of death we're supposed to read Surah Yaseen for that person, encourage that person to say the kalima, like the hadith of Rasulullah, Laqinu mawtakum ash-shahada, that encourage, inculcate your dead who are about to die at the moment of their death, encourage them, you know, inculcating them to say the shahada. So that is the same concept, because the last ayah 132 was فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't you dare die except on a state of Iman. So now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then connecting it with the death. Over there in that ayah was the mentioning of death. Death of who? The human beings in general. Allah was addressing them. They don't die except on a state of Iman. And now here the same concept of death is attached to another human being, a prophet of Allah, Yaqub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning the Yahud of the of Medina, Ahlul Medina, that were you present at a time when our Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, or Israel alayhi salam, as you claim of Bani Israel, as you claim the lineage with that, were you present when your forefather, when your Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam was passing away, when the signs of maut, Hadar al-Maut, when signs of maut were coming, and what did he say at that time? On his deathbed, in the last moments of his life, what did Yaqub al-Islam or Israel al-Islam, the father of Bani Israel, what did he say? Iz qala li banihi. When he said, Iz qala li banihi. When he said to his children, banihi, his children, his direct children, meaning Yusuf al-Islam and his other children, as well as in this, is attached to all his followers. Iz qala li banihi, ma ta'buduna min ba'di. O my children, what are you going to worship after I pass away? Meaning he is giving a wasiyah. We talked about this last Friday also. The concept of wasiyah. Wasiyah is different from nasiha. How? Who is present last week? Anybody? I give you the difference. You're present. What is the difference between wasiyah and nasiha? I gave that last Friday, just 6 days ago. Yes, very simple. Bounding, mandatory. See, advice is nasiha. Nasiha is advice. You take it or leave it. Somebody gives you advice. I give you advice, but it's up to you whether you take it or not. But if you're my blood relative, if I'm your father, you're my father, you give me wasiyah, it becomes bounded in that relationship for me that I have to follow. Now if I don't follow, God forbid, then on the day of judgment, Allah is going to ask me that your father or your grandfather or your mother or your grandmother or your uncle or your relative gave you wasiyah. What did you do with it? Accountability. Mandatory. That's the same concept that Yaqub alayhi salam is talking directly to his sons and all of his people in general. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. What are you going to worship after I leave? بَعْد means after. بَعْدِ, after he leaves, meaning he's talking about himself. Very simple ayat, simple words for people to understand. Allah's mother then says, قَالُوا, they said together. For those of us who already know a little bit of Arabic, and those who don't, remember, in Arabic language, the word structures differ. When one person says something, qala. When a female says something, qalat. When a group of people say together, collectively, it is with waw and alif. Qalu, like dakhalu, kharaju, jalasu. Qalu. In other words, when we understand these grammatical concepts, we know. Because sometimes people say of the other face, oh, not all of them agreed. No, we know. Because Allah is telling us from the Arabic language that collectively, unanimously, all agreed and said together, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ. O our beloved father, O Yaqub al-Islam, نَعْبُدُ. Again, we talked about in verb structures, collective verb structure. If it's one, I alone, أَعْبُدُ. He, يَعْبُدُ. All of us together, نَعْبُدُ. We will worship. Meaning there is cohesion between them, there is unity between them, there is no any sort of dispute or disagreement amongst them. They unanimously, collectively, they said, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ, that, oh, Yaqub al-Islam, we will worship your ilah, your God, which is their God also. إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَٰهُ آبَاءَكَ. Not only your, he's not only your God, oh Yaqub al-Islam, he's not only your deity, your Allah, he is the ilah or God or Allah of your father. And who are they? آبَاءِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ وَإِسْحَاقُ. Ah, here is a catch. Because they used to differentiate themselves away from Ismail al-Islam. Allah here put purposely the name of Ismail al-Islam, and look, you cannot differentiate yourself from. It's not a separate. He is from the same blood of Ibrahim al-Islam. So he's not separate, he's not different. He is from it. If you claim that the prophecy was only between Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf and all that line, and you totally shun Ismail, you're wrong. Allah here mentioned that, look, they said, we will worship your God and the God of your fathers, number one, Ibrahim, number two, Ismail. And that's what the unanimously, this ayah is used by the fuqaha, ulama, that Ismail al-Islam was the elder son of Ibrahim al-Islam. Because there is another riwayah, there is another weak, ra'il tradition, that they say, no, Ishaq al-Islam was the elder son. He was the one who was supposed to sacrifice. That's what our brethren from the Ahlul Kitab believe, that it was Ishaq who was going for that sacrifice, and he was changed and he was replaced by Iraq. But here the proof is very clear, because one of the usul of tafsir is, one of the fundamental principles of tafsir is, that when Allah mentions something in sequence, in order, it is deliberate, it is intentional. Allah means something. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. You don't have 1, 3, 4, 2, and then 5. No, it's an order. So when Allah is saying here that they said collectively, نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَىٰ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمْ إِسْمَعِيلْ إِسْحَاقْ, Allah didn't say in the Ibrahim, Ishaq, Ismail. Why? Because these words are coming from the blessed mouth and tongue of Rasulullah. So he is giving witness to the Ahlul Kitab of Medina that, look, yes, the Abu al-Anbiya, father of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. After him, the next who was there in line, Ismail alayhi salam. And then Ishaq alayhi salam. And then Yaqub alayhi salam. And Yaqub himself is acknowledging Ismail as his forefather. And so are the children of Ismail, I mean Yaqub alayhi salam, acknowledging that, oh, our father Yaqub alayhi salam, amongst your forefather is also who? Ismail alayhi salam. That is why in the other divine scriptures, in the other holy books, it's written that, so to say, that Allah is talking to them, or their God is telling them, that I will send you a prophet from your brethren. What is brethren in Arabic? Ikhwa. What does ikhwa mean? Sons from the same father. Ishaq, Ismail, brethren. Unanimous, collective, one father. Ismail is not a separate father. So even that, no matter how corrupted and how changed those other holy scriptures are, you still go there today, you still find that word brethren. B-R-E-T-H-R-E-N. And who are the brethren of Ahlul Kitab? The Arabs. No, not us. We are Ajam. But the Arabs, yes. And that's what it is. They're cousins. Related. In fact, the language itself is very, very similar. I know many of you might have seen that movie, The Passion of Christ. It was not in English language. Ask any Arab, did he understand a lot of the words? Yes. Because it was in Aramaic language, what we call Ibrit. In Arabic we call it Al-Ibriya. Look how similarity is between the title, terminology of the two languages. Arabi and Ibriya, Ibri. They both have same root letters, so to speak. Arabi, Ayn, Ra, Ba. And yeah, Arabi. Ibrit, Ibriya, Ayn, Ba, Ra, Ya, and then Tamarud. So that is showing that these brethren, these cousins, have also language that has so similarities. A lot of the words in Aramaic language is very similar to Arabic. Meaning such as asking what, why, these things are the same in both languages. So if somebody is speaking Aramaic, an Arab can understand. An Arab speaking Arabic, an Aramaic person can also understand a lot of the words. Not everything, but yes. Like a common example I give is Urdu and Hindi. they may be written differently. But if somebody is speaking to you in Hindi, can you understand if you know Urdu? You don't know Hindi at all, you just know Urdu. But would you understand it? Yeah. Because the ancestorship is same. All those who speak Urdu and Muslim, they must have been somewhere in the ancestry. So Allah SWT is talking about here the same concept. That he's saying, these sons told their father, Yaqub alayhi salam, Na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha adaika Ibrahim, Ismail, wa Ishaqa ilahan wahida. The God of all these prophets, the God of all these people is one singular, same God. So what's the fuss about? What's the disagreement? What's the fight about? If the God of Ibrahim, the God of Ismail, the God of Ishaq, the God of Yaqub, Jacob, God of Yusuf, Joseph is the same, so why fight? Come to an understanding. That's why in Surah Al-Imran, Allah revealed the book, Allah revealed the ayah, telling Muhammad ﷺ, tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, ta'alaw ila kalamatin sawa'un baynana wa baynakum, alla na'budu illa iya. Allah is saying over there that, O Muhammad, tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of scriptures, O respectable, honorable people who received books in the past on the face of this earth. That's literally what Ahl al-Kitab mean. It's an honor, it's a special privilege. That look, we're acknowledging that you are different from a mushrik, from a one, a munafiq, or others. You're Ahl al-Kitab. That is why you know in Surah Nisa, Allah said that a munafiq, he may seem in the world, he may seem that he or she was a Muslim, but a munafiq in hellfire is below Ahl al-Kitab. Their status is worse than Ahl al-Kitab. In the law, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That certainly the hypocrites will be on the lowest status of the fire, much below than the Ahl al-Kitab. Ahl al-Kitab far much better than a munafiq, because at least he or she is apparent. They tell you, I'm not a Muslim, I have my own book or scripture, whatever. Munafiq, what he tell you in the faces? You're my best brother in Islam. I'm a Muslim. I will die as a Muslim. But only Allah knows what is in his or her heart. And that is why it's so dangerous. So over here, he's saying, Ilahan wahida. It's the same ilah for all of these. Meaning, this is the bonding. And that's what Allah said. Ya ahl al-kitab. Ta'alaw. Ta'alaw means come on, come. Invitation, dawat. Like you ask people, come to my house, we'll have dinner together, we'll sit down, have tea together. You invite people. It is different from udu. Udu is your calling. Ta'ala, you're inviting with pleasure, with assistance and ease. And to what? What did Allah say to Muhammad ﷺ to say them? Ta'ala ila to kalimatin, a word. Sawa'un baynana wa baynakum. To one word that is equal and same. Sawa' means similar. Walbaynam, exactly same. One. In English you say one, in Arabic you say wahid. In English you say one and only, in Arabic you say ahad. Ahad meaning the one and only, unique. Ahad does not mean just one. One and the only one, the unique. No mathil, no mithal for it. So that is what Allah's mother is saying in this ayah, that their son said, we will worship your God and the God of your fathers, Ibrahim al-Islam, Ismail al-Islam, Ishaq al-Islam, who is the one same, Ilahu wahida, wa nahnu lahu muslimun. And we, or our beloved father, Yaqub al-Islam, be it known that we, your sons, are Muslim to him. Therefore, the concept and notion of Islam and Muslim is not something new. It is one of the conspiracies of those who don't like it to say, oh, it's something new, something alien, something different. Allah in this ayah is saying that Islam was for Ibrahim al-Islam, Islam was for Ismail al-Islam, for Yaqub al-Islam, for Ishaq al-Islam, for Yusuf, for all the Bani Israel, it was Islam, they were all Muslims. Allah never called them as a different. No, they were all Muslims, submitters and submission in totality to the ordainment of Allah SWT. And then Allah SWT informs them, tilka. Tilka meaning past tense. Because the opposite of tilka is what? Hadihi. Hadihi. If Allah said hadihi, meaning this one over here. Tilka, past tense. تلك أمة قد خلت. Those were the ummas, nations. Ummah of Ibrahim al-Islam, Ummah of Ismail al-Islam, Ummah of Ishaq al-Islam, Ummah of Yaqub al-Islam, and so on and so forth. All these ummah. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم. Those were the nations that came, that lived, that breathed like me and you and everyone, that did their work and things. قد خلت. And then لها ما كسبت. They earned. لها ما كسبت. كسب يكسب means to earn, to extract, extrapolate, derive. So when you work good deeds, you are earning reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ajr. And when someone does a bad deed, they are also earning. Although the human mind is conceptualized that the word earning means positive only. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says earning is both ways. Don't you have khasara in business? You have khasara. You lost a big amount of contract, money lost. That is an earning. Because you didn't make the right decisions in your business, so you earned a loss. And if you made the right, prosperous, projective decisions, you earned a profit. The same concept, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. Don't worry about the ummas. Allah is now telling Rasulullah in this ayah, and to all of our people, Muslims, don't worry what about them. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. The style of information and delivery in this verse is Allah saying, what have you to worry and so much stressed out about them? Let them, they're gone, they came, they passed, they perished. They're right now in their barzakh. When they will come to accountability and judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, they'll be asked and they'll have the answer. You worry about yourself. There's a big hikmah in this verse, especially for us Muslims living in America. What is that? What is Allah telling me and you? If you see the lifestyle and attitude of us Muslims, whether here or anywhere, has become that we worry more about who? What's happening in his house? Would you get her make your acharya? Unke harmonio. Oh, acharya. Worry yourself! Laha ma kasabat. Walakum ma kasabtum. Did you ever think about maza taksibun? What are you earning? Even by infiltrating in other people's private privy matters, what are you earning by doing that? That is why it is very, very momentous to understand the choice of words that Allah has chosen in each verse. There's a whole field in itself, a whole science in Usul al-Tafsir. There's a whole science that works on the research of why Allah chose this word in this ayah and this word in this ayah. Remember, I gave you a glimpse of that once, that in many of the ayats, Allah mentions His sifat, His names. Alim al-Khabir, Samin al-Alim, you know, and many things like that. There's a purpose behind it. There's a hikmah behind it. In the same way, when Allah is choosing these words, this is what we say in the English language, read between the lines. So if you read between the lines in this ayah, Allah is saying, mind your own business. You should be so indebted about your earning rather than thinking about what you did have made your acho no aisa kar diya aro unke khandan mein to ladaiyan chal acho. Why should I worry about that khandan and this khandan and this khandan? Isn't my khandan enough for me to worry myself? Isn't my own wujud enough for me to worry? Allah, what you gonna do with me? How am I gonna face Rasulullah on the day of judgment? With what stature will I face these things? Will I get to bring from the holy cause of Jerusalem? If I just think about this, the Qiyamah will come and I will not free from myself from this thinking. But will I get a chance to bring? Because if any mu'min who is deprived, mahroom, from the holy cause, it is a maqam of zillah and tazleel. That is a very humiliating man. All their life they call themselves Muhammadi, or follower of Ummat Muhammad as Islam. But Yawm al-Qiyamah, they are put aside. 50, 60, 70 years of life, 40 years of life, didn't even earn them a palm of water. This is mean kasab, kasabat. Is this what they earn? After 60, 70 years of life, or 40 years of life, whatever the life Allah gave them, they can't even get a sip of water from the If we start thinking about these things, if we start focusing about things, it sends a chill down your spine and you will forget everything. The only thing you will worry is about yourself. That's why Allah says that people will worry, people will think, people will be stressed out, concerned. But when Qiyamah comes, like Surah Hajj, when Allah says in the beginning of that ayah, in Surah Hajj, in the beginning of those ayahs, what Allah says, that even a mother that is feeding a child will drop. A mother that is carrying a child in the stomach will drop because of the surmountable stress of that day. Wouldn't she worry about the child? No. She's so worried, concerned about herself that she will drop. You see any mother dropping a child in this world today when they are feeding them? No matter how hard the circumstances, they will not do that. Because of the attachment and love. But Allah is playing these examples in front of our eyes to make us realize apprehension. Are you prepared for that day? Are you worried about that day? And if you want to know how stressful and worrisome that day is, just think about a mother. What would make her to drop her child? Qiyamah. And then another place is Sakratu Qiyamah. Intoxication of the stress of Qiyamah. Not intoxication of something that is evil or khamar or sharab, but intoxication of the stress that is building on them. So that is what Allah SWT is saying. There are people, those nations have passed, don't worry about it. Tilka ummatun qad khalat, laha ma kasabat, wa lakum ma kasabtum. And then Allah SWT says, وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And don't you even ask about what they used to do. When something is past, it's past. What benefit are you going to earn if you keep asking about it? Why did they do this? What happened to that? What made them do that? What is this? What? You know, all these questions is not earning us anything. In the same way, in our societies today, in our Muslim ummah today, in our lifestyles today, when families question and interrogate other families, why you did this, what happened, why you made this family choice, who am I to worry about their family choices? If the husband and father made a choice, and by that same token in this ayah, Allah is addressing every potential or existing father-in-law and mother-in-law. Do not give your advices, give your nasiha, no doubt about that, give your tarbiyah, but don't interject and interfere in husband-wife ma'amilat. How would you feel if somebody kept bugging you, interfering in every single thing? 90% of the marital discord and marital differences and disputes that arise in our societies today is because of interference and interrogation and investigation of other people in the private matters of us. If the husband and wife decided to make a choice, a decision, it's their decision. I am the father-in-law. I would not tell my wife, the mother-in-law, that we need to go and talk to our son and daughter. Whatever the case may be, whether I'm the father of a son or I'm the father of a daughter. It is their decision. I would say, son, daughter, this is what Islam is about. This is what our tarbiyah, our culture, our things are. But why should I bug them, pester them, investigate them? To stress them out? To create oppression in their mind? Oh yeah, my dad is right. My mom is right. I gotta go back. That notion goes to the other household. Oh yeah? You tit for tat. You answer twice for every single thing. It is destroying the very fabric of a family life. Because why? Families are bogged down in this battle. Tit for tat. Ek sunai tum do sunao. Or ek mari tum do mari. It's not getting us anywhere. It is disuniting the family. And when the family is disunited, when divorces happen, the ummah is disunited. The ummah is disenchanted. And who won? Shaitan. The shaitan wanted Bani Adam ek dusre se ladke karke alag ho kina pagal apne dilon mein bus bhalo na uski shakal dekho na usse baat karo na wo shaitan is very happy laughing, mashallah, look at all these different Muslim ummas, I've done my job because I didn't want them to see each other's faces. How many people are walking on the faces of the streets with grudges in their hearts from the 1.6 billion strong Muslim ummah and many more to come and count? How many of that 1.6 billion are walking with a grudge? You don't know their grudges. You don't see in a microscope in their heart what they have. But they are. I would say maybe only 10% of that 1.6 billion are truly open, free-hearted, clean-hearted, have no grudge whatsoever, have no hesitation, reservation in their hearts for anyone, any person, any family. But the majority have these minute, even if they deny on the face of their tongue, it is sitting there. They just don't want to acknowledge it. And that is the most biggest cowardice of a believer, mu'min, not acknowledging their deficiencies. Look at the Sahaba al-Kiram Rijwanum Ajma'in. Look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, and all these stalwarts of Sahaba, and many more to me. That each one of them was so concerned about their heart, cleansing of their heart, about not having any grudge, any hesitation, any irritation. Many times you may want to deny your grudge, but you know how you can tell? When you see someone, your Muslim brother or sister on the sidewalk in the park, and you don't feel like saying salam to them, a red flag should go up in your brain. Why you don't want to say salam? That means there is something you're hiding in your heart. Oh no, I have no grudge. I'm very open-minded. I'm very open-hearted. I forgive everybody who will forgive me. But who gave you this thought in your brain, I don't want to say salam to that sister, I don't want to say salam to that brother, respectfully for that? It is shaitan. Because shaitan knows you more than yourself. That is the hadith of Rasulullah. I'm not saying that. He said, Rasulullah said, shaitan walks in your body, drives in your body, like blood. Give me one place of your body where there's no blood. Tell me one place. If there's no blood in any part of your body, that part will become soon dead. Dead. Meaning there's no blood flowing, that part you have to amputate. So what was the meaning of Rasulullah saying that shaitan goes in your body like blood? He didn't mean to say that shaitan who enters from your brain and is living, saying, hey, I'm in your body right now, talk to me. No. What he meant by the hadith, Rasulullah is saying, just like you think about blood flowing in your body, every single, kona, even under the nails, there's blood. In the same way, shaitan knows about your feelings and thinkings and everything, and plays with your emotions and grudges and hesitancies and irritations, and builds on it, and provokes you for the worse, not for the better. All this information in one piece of advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Don't you ask about them, when they, those ummas. In 2005, you can say, those families, those khandans. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Give your advices, give your comments, give your evaluations, give whatever you want to give. But don't interfere, interject, interrogate, investigate, explore, discover. Many, with all due respect, but many people are on a discovery mission. Not discovering the space station out there, but discovering what family things are there so I can put my ear and eye into it. Not realizing those countless ahadith of Rasulullah that talks about these things that are forbidden. And that's what Allah SWT is telling us. What have you got to worry about the Ummah of Ibrahim al-Islam, Ummah of Ismail al-Islam, Ummah of Ishaq al-Islam, Ummah? No, read about them, learn about them as a source of Ibra, lessons of wisdom. Read and learn about them as a lesson of hindsight, that I don't commit the same mistake that Ummah did. Not that you do the same mistake and double it. Oh, we're better than them. They did one mistake, we do two mistakes. That's the same philosophy of those parents who say, "Wo tum ek sunao, tum do sunao." They're making a mistake, they're foolish and childish and ignorant. You are even more foolish and childish and ignorant by saying, "Oh, if he's doing one harm to you, you do double harm." You know what's gonna get? You're not gonna get anywhere. You're gonna cause more harm. And what is the advice of Allah in the Quran when somebody harms you? Idfa billati hiya ahsan. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. What a beautiful piece of advice. In Surah Fussilat, Surah 41, verse 27, Allah is one saying, اِدْفَع, push. The word اِدْفَع means push. No, don't take it literally and go push that person. Oh, Allah said push you. You did evil to me. No. اِدْفَع بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنٌ. If somebody harmed you, somebody irritated you, somebody did something wrong to you, oppressed you, push back their harm and evil, repel it. Repel that evil deed, repel that evil word. بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ, with something that is better than what they did, better than what they said. Why? فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة. If there is any sort of enmity, envy, jealousy, حسد, جلن, any kind of feeling in your hearts because of your deed of repelling evil with good, Allah will make you best friends. And this advice is most applicable to husband and wife. Because Shaitan doesn't want husband and wife to be best friend. Who's your best friend? Another time people say, this is my best friend. Your spouse should be the best friend. And then after that, any other male or female gender, depending on who you are. The spouse should be the best friend. And that's what Allah is saying. The best way you can make your own spouse your best friend, the best way you can earn and win the heart of your spouse is repel evil with something that is even better than what they have said or did or felt. Because Allah, through the barakah of your amal, your deed, kasab, same word used, will make this relationship soften, harmonious, and attached, not detached. Continuing further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they said, وَقَالُوا, meaning those who were the Ahl Kitab of Medina. After the first two verses, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying back to them, that, oh, Muhammad alayhi salam, they came and they told you, قَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تَهْتَدُوا. The asbab al-nuzul, reasons of revelation of this ayah was that a Yahudi of Medina came to the Rasul salam and said, oh Muhammad salam, we are the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You come and follow us and you'll be okay, you'll go to Jannah, you'll be saved. Then a Nasrani came of Medina and he said to Rasul salam also, oh Muhammad salam, we are the followers of such and such prophet from Isa and then Isa all the way to Ibrahim. Come and follow us and you'll be saved. So Allah revealed this ayah. وَقَالُوا, and they said, كُونُوا, be, you know, كُون فَيَكُون, be and it becomes, كُونُوا, be. In other words, they're saying, actively be like what? Who then? أَوْ نَصَارَ. Be a Jew or be a Christian. تَهْتَدُوا, you'll be guided. Look at the audacity. Telling a prophet to follow a follower of some other prophet, which they're not even anymore following. That shows you psychological framework of the mind of a nation, of a place. And it still exists today. It still exists